Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that you join us each week on the Seeds of Faith. We receive so many wonderful emails from listeners. Our prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith in your family, in your workplace, in your church, in your world. We begin Advent. We are beginning a new church calendar today. Last week, we finished the church calendar with Christ the King Sunday, from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. Today, we begin a fresh and new calendar year with the season of Advent. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming. In the Bible, Advent is usually associated with the incarnation of Christ, the child born in a manger. We're going to celebrate the next 4 weeks as Advent. Advent is also associated with parousia, the second coming of Christ in victory. Let us always remember, Christ is coming back. For us today, we begin the new church year with Advent, 4 Sundays, or the 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas. We start today with a candle of hope. Love, joy, peace will follow. Advent is a time for us to prepare for the coming of Christ into our hearts, our homes, our lives, and our churches. Let us get ready. Let us prepare our hearts for Christmas. Say it with me. I prepare my heart for Christmas with hope. I prepare my heart for Christmas with hope. One of our passages today comes from the prophet Isaiah. The New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Let me set the stage a little bit, or set the context, as they say theologically. Isaiah was a prophet of God who ministered to the people of Judah in Jerusalem. By the time of Isaiah's writing, King David's kingdom has been divided into 2 kingdoms, Israel and Judah. This first division took place after the death of David's son Solomon. Israel consisted of the 10 of the 12 tribes located in the north. Their place of worship was Shechem, then Tirzah, and finally Samaria. The northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC. The southern kingdom became known as Judah. Isaiah spent his life trying to bring the hearts of those in Judah back to God. Most scholars believe that the first 39 chapters of Isaiah were written around 734 to 700 BC, and the last 27 chapters of the book were written later, around 681 BC. Let us turn to the prophet Isaiah and listen to his words to Judah, Jerusalem, and to us. May we learn from these words how to grow in hope as we wait for Christmas. Before we turn to God's word, let us come to God in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. God of all time and all creation, we wait. We wait in hope. We wait as we prepare our hearts and homes and lives for Christmas this year. We also wait and watch for the second coming of Christ and all of his glory and grace. Our world needs hope. Our world needs your hope. Our world needs you, Jesus. Teach us this week how to wait for you and how to hope in you. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, and then in Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7. Listen for God's word. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The first prophecy there of Emmanuel. Let me read it again. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and you'll call him Emmanuel. Let's listen for Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing up the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boots used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Listen to Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 25, which is going to be our reading through Advent. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they have handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seems good also to me to write an orderly account for you and most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that have been taught. In the time of King Herod, king of the Judea, where he was a priest named of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. They were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give to him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the Lord, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along and in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home, and after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In those ways he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Whew, that's a lot of reading. Know this, while we are waiting, God is working. While we are waiting, God is working. Wait, waiting. What comes to your mind when you hear those words? Or what is it that you are waiting on? I remember I had a mysterious, intriguing, strange rash oozing blisters on my legs and shoulders and chest. It was 2013. I waited as I saw 14 different doctors only to be told that by the best infectious disease specialist in Los Angeles that I was intriguing. Listen, I was waiting to get rid of a 33-month-old rash. How about you? What are you waiting for? We have been struggling with a worldwide pandemic that has caused many to be quarantined, locked down, and even shut down. Wow. It took 2 years almost, 20 months of waiting, watching, worrying, wondering, how long, Lord? Wait is a verb. Did you know that? Wait is a verb. I will say it again. Wait is a verb. That means waiting is an action that we do. Isn't it kind of funny? Waiting is an action that we do. We wait. How exactly do we wait? One of the Bible dictionaries defined wait this way, quote, to remain in readiness and expectation. To remain in readiness and expectation. In Scripture, the word wait normally suggests the anxious yet confident expectation by God's people that the Lord will intervene on their behalf. Waiting, therefore, is the working out of hope. Did you hear that? Waiting is the working out of hope. When we wait, we are to remain in readiness and expectation. Think about what it is or who it is that you are waiting for. Now remain confident that God will intervene. What are we doing when we wait is we are working out hope. You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you need prayer while you wait, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the icon for prayer, and our prayer team will pray for you. If you need a Bible, we have a member of our church that is handing out one-year Bibles. Email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship, and we'll get you a one-year Bible. Read along with us this year. We also have a scripture reference book we would be glad to give you. You can email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. I love the thought, waiting is the working out of hope. If you don't take anything home from this message this week, listen, waiting is working out of hope, the expectation that the Lord will intervene on our behalf. I like the definition too, because I was waiting for 33 months to be healed from, well, I don't want to be gross, but it was oozing, itching, blistering rash, and it moved around my entire body. The rash went inside once, and I had thousands of blisters in my mouth and throat. Talk about waiting. We've been waiting for over 20 months to hear good news about what when we struggled with COVID. As we wait, we hear there's a new variant. I find it interesting that we use the Greek alphabet to name the variants. As I have begun working on this message, I have been reflecting on some of the people who had to wait in the Bible. Abraham was given a promise, and he would be the father of many nations, yet it was not until he was 100 years old and his wife Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Can you imagine waiting until you're almost 100 years old to see the birth of your son? Wait, remain in readiness, remain in expectation. Then there's Jacob. Jacob worked for 7 years to marry Rachel, only to find out that his father-in-law switched daughters on him, and he ended up marrying Leah. Then Jacob found out what Laban had done. Then he promised to work another 7 years for him in order to marry Rachel. Can you imagine waiting and working for 14 years to marry the one you love? Wait. Remain in readiness. Remain in expectation. How about Moses? Moses is orphaned as a 3-month-old baby, grows up in Pharaoh's palace for the next 40 years. Then the following 40 years, he lives in the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. After that, Moses spends 40 years wandering in the wilderness, caring for the people of Israel. That's a lifetime of waiting. Can you imagine waiting 40 years to enter the promised land? Can you imagine seeing it from across the river, but not ever being able to enter it? Wait. remain in readiness, remain in expectation. What about David, King David? David grows up taking care of his father's sheep. He writes psalms, or what we call songs, and plays the harp. David is anointed king by Samuel and slays a giant named Goliath. Did you know it took 15 years after he was anointed king to actually become king of Judah? Can you imagine waiting 15 years for the promise of a promotion or a raise? Wait, remain in readiness, remain in expectation. Well, let's look at some of the people in the New Testament. Zechariah, an old priest, waited to have the opportunity to bring the incense into the Holy of Holies. It was finally his turn, and he went into the Holy of Holies by himself with a rope tied around his foot and bells on his tassels that they would ring when he walked around, just in case if there was an emergency they could drag him out. Hope. Old Zechariah had prayed and prayed for years and years for his wife Elizabeth to have a child. Now he's an old man, and his wife was beyond childbearing age. Scholars believe that Zechariah and Elizabeth have been married for probably almost 50 years. We do not know how old Zechariah is, but we do know that he's been waiting for a long time to hear from God. The Jewish people had been waiting 400 years to hear from God. My guess is that Zechariah had been waiting 80 years. Zechariah was going through the motions, putting in his time, punching his high priest to-do list. Fill the candles, clean the pulpit, mop the entry, dust the altar, and then lightning struck. Zechariah's name was drawn from the hat. More like his straw was picked, his lot was chosen, and Zechariah was chosen to enter into the Holy of Holies and offer up the yearly sacrifice. Zechariah's been at this for, well, an exceptionally long time. Five times every year, Zechariah made the five-mile hike to Jerusalem to go serve in the temple for the feast. Now, from the lot of 18,000 priests, Zechariah's name is chosen. Look at the odds, 1 in 18,000. It's now the time for God to speak. Wait with confidence and expectation. Work out hope as you wait. Zechariah, the name means the Lord remembers. The Lord remembers. I wonder if there were times then when Zechariah thought that the Lord did not remember him. I bet there were times when Zechariah was willing to give up, give in, and stop believing. I'm too old. Elizabeth is too old. I've been praying the same prayer for way too long. Maybe God has forgotten me. How many times do you and I want to give up, give in, and not believe? What are the odds that some of us listening today are ready to give up, give in, and throw in the towel? Why not just walk away? In our reading from Isaiah 7, we hear the prophet challenge King Ahaz to ask God for a sign. Ahaz says that he'll not put God to the test asking for a sign, like it's a sign, a secret alliance with the Assyrians to protect him. In essence, King Ahaz was not waiting on God to help him. King Ahaz had taken matters into his own hands. How often do we act like King Ahaz? How often do we take matters into our own hands? How hard is it to wait on God? I can tell you that it's pretty darn hard to wait. When Robert Ingersoll, a famous atheist, was lecturing, he took out his watch and declared, quote, "I will give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things I have said," unquote. The minutes ticked off, and as he held the watch and waited, in about 4.5 minutes, some women began fainting, nothing happened. When 5 minutes were up, Ingersoll put his watch in his pocket. When the incident reached the ears of a certain preacher, Joseph Parker asked, "What did the gentleman think he could exhaust the patience of the eternal God in 5 minutes?" Wow. Even though King Ahaz will not ask for a sign, God will give him and the people of Israel a sign. The sign is proclaimed in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel." You remember that Emmanuel means God is with us. Here in Isaiah, the promise of the sign given by God is that Emmanuel, God is with us, God is with us. God is working on our behalf. God, even when we cannot see or feel him working, God is working in our lives and on our behalf. Point one, God is working while we're waiting. Dr. Arthur Pearson once told of being alone in the study of a great man of faith and achievement, George Mueller. Thinking it would be a good time to look at the great man's Bible, he opened it and was thumbing through its pages when he came to a verse in Psalm where it read, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord," Psalm 37, verse 23. Opposite to it, in the margin, Mueller had made a note, and he said, "And the stops too." So, the steps and the stops of a good person, a good man, or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. Has God put some stops in your life? Then wait. What if we turned wait into an acrostic or an acronym? Walking always in trust. Wait. Walking always in trust. That's my word for wait. Walking always in trust. If you're waiting, then join the crowd. Abraham, 100 years. Jacob, 14 years. Moses, 40, or 120 years. David, 15 years. Zechariah, 80 years. Are you waiting? If so, remember, God is working while you're waiting. When Isaiah gave the people of Israel the promise of the coming of the Messiah, you know that they would wait another 700 years to witness the birth of Jesus? Isaiah says that the people were walking in darkness. Have you ever tried walking in darkness? Just this past week, I was walking in our bedroom after my wife had gone to bed and all the lights were off. It was pitch black in there, and I hit my toe on the bedpost. Sometimes not waiting on God is like walking around in the dark. You take matters into your own hands, and you end up stubbing your toe, or worse, breaking your heart or someone else's heart. We need to remember that while we are waiting, God is working. While we are waiting, we can wait with hope. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Did you hear those words? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Hope means to remain in readiness or expectation, to be anxious yet confident expectation by God's people to intervene, for God's people to intervene. Waiting. Remember, while we are waiting, God is working. We can wait with hope. We can remain in readiness, remain in expectation. We can wait and know that God will intervene. Well, I still have 2 times the lethal limit of lead in my body. I'm down from 5 times. I've been waiting to detox this lead since September of 2017, 4 years waiting. But I wait with the confidence that God is still with me, Emmanuel. I wait knowing that the day is coming when I'll be lead free. Like Abraham, Moses, Zechariah, and all of us who wait, it is my prayer that we will learn to wait in hope, remain in readiness or expectation, having the anxiousness yet confident expectation that God will intervene on our behalf. Hope, heaven's one promise, Emmanuel, God with us. Here, so what? Wait, wait in hope. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks for this season of Advent. As we wait in hope, we know that you're working, in Jesus' name. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and wait in hope. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.